Welcome to Current Affairs Taiwan. I'm your host, Donovan Smith. With me today in studio is Jason Pan, a longtime reporter with the Taipei Times. He's been a reporter here since the 1990s, previously also with the Taiwan News, and now is with the Taipei Times, part of the Leaning Green Liberty Times group. Welcome.
Good day, everyone. I'm Jason Pan, and I'm a newspaper reporter. I used to be with Taiwan News and also now with the Taipei Times daily news reporting.
All right. So we'll cover a few big stories this week, but let's start off with the Czech delegation. There was an 89-member delegation that arrived from the Czech Republic that was led by the Senate, the president of the Senate there. So what were some of the highlights of that?
Yeah, it's been quite a big diplomatic initiative breakthrough for Taiwan. You know, it's a big UN, it's a EU delegation, Czech Republic was a delegation from Taiwan. And they visited quite a lot of places this past week. And one of the highlights is Senate President Visichou, his speech in Taiwan's parliament, the legislative yuan. And of course, it affirmed a relationship, how we are based on democracy, freedom, and that it gets a lot of media play. Is at the end of his speech, he said in his Chinese way, saying, "我是 Taiwanan, I am Taiwanese." So that kind of echo JFK during the Berlin crisis somewhere. Mm-hmm. So that he's standing with Taiwan in this time of threatening. I guess he didn't directly reference it, but of course China threatening them and Taiwan.
Yeah, that was really a popular move, wasn't it?
Yeah, it is. It got a lot of airplay. And one of the most interesting thing is that in the Czech Republic now, they have a T-shirt making up of that in Czech saying, "I'm Taiwanese," and apparently it's selling out very well.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, yeah.
But the other thing is that he also gave speech at the NCCU, Zhengda National Zhengzhi University. The whole delegation, which total 89, including parliamentarian, and also reporter who went, there's also a Czech business people and also 15 reporter from Czech Republic.
And the Prague mayor, I think, as well.
That's right. Prague mayor, very interesting fellow. Yeah, Zdenek Harib. He, of course, he's doing a city-to-city sort of diplomacy with mm-hmm. Taipei City as a city. But of course, Harib is... he's young. He looks like he's also a future, aspiring politician. Maybe he'll go higher. He had personal relationship with, of course, I think Freddie. There was used to be the Sanning Chotonic of Freddie Lim.
Yeah, Freddie Lim, yeah.
They say he played in Prague in 2014. And Freddie Lim and also some other people in Taiwan say, "Oh, they know Harib, the current Prague mayor." But of course, Prague mayor say he is Taipei because he used to live in Taiwan. He was doing his medical training or exchange in Chang'an University, medical university. So he's a doctor by training, and he used to in Taiwan. He said he loved Taiwan, and it was good to see some of his old friend.
Mm-hmm. Now, what were some of the practical results of this trip?
Yeah, I think it was very, very well done. I think in a way that it's not just a political move, but there are concrete economic and trade and technical exchange. For example, the government, both the Tsai Ing-wen, the DPP government, also the parliament, they sponsor or arrange for meetings with Taiwan art sector, also the Taiwan's industry, IT sector. They also visited. Taiwan also donated them at the same time, something like 20,000 the medical mask. But additionally, they also gift to the Czech Republic the machines for making the line production machine for making masks. And of course, both sides, they said there'll be concrete progress in terms of enhanced economic cooperation and also investment, both sides. So we could see in the future that there could be more such kind of bilateral or enhanced trade investment between Taiwan and the Czech Republic.
Now, there's something interesting I found is that the Czech president and his group tend to be they're viewed as more practical, want to do business with China. But the Senate president, the Prague mayor, they're much more influenced by Vaclav Havel, and they're big on resisting authoritarianism, human rights, and that sort of thing. So the group that came to Taiwan is of that group. They're much more interested in human rights standing up against China.
Yeah.
One interesting detail that came out of this, I read somewhere, is that apparently trade between the Czech Republic and Taiwan is 14 times bigger than that with China. And China had originally come in the early 2010s and said, oh, we promised this and promised that, and almost none of it materialized. So the Czech president is a little bit embarrassed by this, and the Czech president didn't want this delegation to actually come. And this is the interesting part, is that they had to, the foreign minister, who was opposed to this trip, had to defend this this delegation, because of course Wang Yi was doing a, trying to drum up, this is the Chinese foreign minister, was trying to drum up support, or, you know, as on a public relations tour through Europe, and then he said some things. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, for people, you must know, the current central government in power, Czech, is a different party than most of this delegation. And this delegation is very much a little bit more pro-Taiwan. But I also know that this is what happened, is that China actually in recent years actually promised invest heavily. As part of this One Road, One Belt, it died in lieu investment. But from what I read, none of this came true. So what Czech and the Czech people, you know, they were really saying, oh, this is it's not happening. You know, this is totally, that's, you know, instead. And that's a big factor also coming in because of coronavirus. And people all over the world are seeing through social media, all kind of reporting, say Taiwan is doing a good job in terms of, you know, public health and, you know, getting this not as effective as other country. You know, as you know, if you know Germany and UK and a lot of Europe as well, Italy and Spain, they are really, really affected by this. So the Czech, a lot of people, you have to not check that a lot of Czech citizens, they say, oh, this, you know, we should really look toward Taiwan rather than China. So, a little bit background is that I also thought this is a very good thing for both sides, because in Taiwan parliament, they actually arrange for a special exhibit on the corridor. They talk about, they put on display on the booth about the, you know, history of Czech Republic, how they were, you know, in the, say, their, the famous historian, the musician, artist, and philosopher. And they, of course, on the exhibit, they also talk about the Prague Spring in 1960. They were fighting against Soviet domination, and a tank rolled in, and they were dominating. Of course, they also had the exhibition about the Velvet Revolution, 1989, with Vaclav Havel. You know, he started with the citizen group, Citizen Front, and they were, anyway, toward democratization, which is kind of parallel in the late 80s. Taiwan also undergoing democratization, fighting against the KMT one-party state dictatorship. So, and that exhibition also shows how, about Prague, about the arts, and also the famous wine and product from Czech. So I thought it's also good for both sides that Taiwanese people normally, Taiwan people know about UK or Germany or Italy, but they don't know much about Czech. But through this visit, they both, I think Taiwanese people are starting to get know more about it. The other thing is, as I said, the Czech people, because of their history, they actually have a very high in level in terms of education and literacy. And also what their history is fighting against the Soviet communist dictatorship or domination. So they found that in parallel or sympathy or in a rapport with Taiwan, that Taiwan on the situation all these decades fighting against China, trying to take over Taiwan. So I think this is a very highlights that common ground of democracy freedom between Czech people and Taiwanese people. So at this point in time, along with China tried, you know, things are happening in terms of investment promise. So a lot of Czech people are really how do I say it? The delegation is a part of that wave for building up closer tie with Taiwan instead of with China.
Now, what I found very interesting was the European reaction, including by the Czech foreign ministry, but specifically, and you can tell us a little bit about it, but the the response to some of the things that the Chinese foreign minister said during his trip to Europe?
Doing news in Taiwan, but also, of course, international news. I have seen that Wang Yi, the China foreign minister, was in Europe. I think he was visiting Germany at the time. And he specifically talked about Czech. And at a public event or a press conference, he said, oh, the Czech Republic going to Taiwan is a very bad thing, something like that, and that you're violating the One China principle. And that specifically, he said, I was astonished when I hear that Wang Yi said, you will pay a very heavy price for this. And that was just a big no-no in EU and all the people who have been democracy people, Western, most of Europe now are, under democracy or free election. They were saying, even Angela Merkel and also German foreign minister specifically told Wang Yi, say, no, you should not threaten a fellow member of EU. We are freedom democracy, and that's something you must not do so. So they kind of rebuke him in a very public way.
Mm-hmm. That's, I think, one of the strongest stances I've seen the EU ever take against China, and this was over this delegation to Taiwan. So I thought that was really good to see. But let's move on to the next topic, shall we?
Yes.
So this has been a big week in U.S.-Taiwan relations. So we could start, on the free trade side. So there was this deal. They made an announcement. Now, what I found that was very interesting is this did not come through. So I'll give a little bit of background here. So for years, the barrier between Taiwan and the U.S. getting a free trade agreement was Taiwan had a ban on the leanness enhancing agent ractopamine in pork and some beef products. And the US side basically considered this to be rampant protectionism and Taiwan wouldn't budge on it, although the Ma Ying-jeou's government tried, but they ran into a lot of opposition from civic groups and the DPP, ironically enough, then led by Tsai Ing-wen. And so President Tsai is now going to, starting January 1st, lift the ban on ractopamine, and they'll put in safety standards that are based on some international standards and allow these in. So that removes the big major barrier. Now, what's interesting, though, is while there was this really positive response from the U.S. government, from the vice president, the Secretary of State, Secretary of Commerce, Secretary of Agriculture, a bunch of Congress people. The one person who didn't respond was Lighthizer, the U.S. trade representative, who is in theory in charge of all international trade. But he's right now, the theory is going, is that because he's working on this deal with China, that he can't, he's going to keep quiet until a deal's done with China. But strangely enough, there was an interesting announcement on the trade issue from the State Department, where they're going to open up trade negotiations with, but the negotiations are going to go through the State Department on improving trade ties. Yeah,
I on this news, I more or less know from the Taiwan side is that Tsai Ing-wen, the DP administration, will open up, lift the ease restriction on import of U.S. pork and beef and basically meat product. But a lot of, say, the KMT opposition, they try to focus just on ractopamine, this residue. But for most Taiwanese people, as they could see the reason, the benefit coming out is that because it is a trade issue and opening up, Taiwan is able to negotiate a bilateral free trade deal with U.S. and that will open up more, economic benefit and investment on both sides, and so that in a way is I would think most Taiwanese people view that, although they are consumer groups and led by also KMT, they wanted to make a political thing out of it, saying, this is an over. But they're focused on ractopamine. That was, for me, it's like, that's one issue, yes, certainly, but the bigger issue is U.S.-Taiwan trade, and you want to open up your market to U.S. and or you want a closer trade economy is China. I think majority of Taiwanese people will say, let's have open trade, free trade with US. You know, that's what most people will go for. Yeah.
Although I noticed in the KMT, they just came out with this proposed platform for the Party Congress. And on their cross-strait ones, and I did a whole show on this yesterday, but the one of the entries was that the KMT specifically states that they want to do both. They want to have interactions and trade with both China and the United States. So it sounds a little bit like what Ma Ying-jeou was saying the other day about, no, you have to balance the two, and they have to be. Yeah. You have to do both, and really outside of the mainstream of Taiwan public opinion.
Yeah. For me, since I was young, living in Taiwan, then I went to North America. But now coming back to Taiwan covering news, it's a lot of things that KMT, they're on appearance, they want to please both sides, U.S. and China, and doing trading. But in fact, the core of U.S., KMT's business and all their interests, they are actually very pro-China. They have been doing investment and business in China. That's the whole basis. But now and because of this issue, they are actually raising a lot of fear or all kind of panic, saying, ractopamine is a very bad for health. And they're raising all kinds of things. In fact, they want to launch a plebiscite, a public referendum on this. In fact, KMT is so narrow-minded. Actually, back to that first issue, when the Czech delegation visited the parliament, a few KMT legislators actually stopped them in the track when they were going to deliver a speech and show them about us, U.S. pork and all other things. And both the DPP and also like Freddie Lim and the New Power Party, a lot of people, they reacted to that. They say, that shows the KMT's, number one, narrow-mindedness. Number two is very not understanding how international diplomacy. They are actually very impolite, because this is an issue with U.S. and it's got nothing to do with Czech. Number two is they are actually talking about issue that has nothing to do with this Czech, Senate president, Mr. Cho, nor the Prague mayor. So what they're doing is try to use their issue to politicize. And they are doing in a lot of commentary and also DP legislator, they say KMT will pull out all stops to prevent Taiwan having closer trade or a relationship with the U.S. What they want to continue is doing business or kind of links with China, so which is not a position supported by majority of Taiwanese people now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting, because back in 2012, during that presidential election, when Tsai Ing-wen made her first bid for president and lost, one of the reasons, and there were many reasons she lost, but she was running against Ma Ying-jeou of the KMT, is that there was an ex-U.S. state official who made some comments which basically made it clear the U.S. didn't support presidents or future President Tsai, or then candidate Tsai. And so there was this perception, in 2012 that the U.S. was more pro KMT, whereas I think that's not true anymore.
Yeah. Actually, in a lot of Taiwan population, at least people, on the pro green or general people I talk to, they are saying that Tsai Ing-wen and DPP is actually moving in a very good direction for Taiwan, for their future, for the future of children, because it's closer U.S. investment or all kind of tie with the U.S. And also, of course, when Tsai Ing-wen got elected a first term, I think, right, Trump immediately called her, a president of Taiwan.
She called him.
Oh.
And the reason I remember that very clearly is because I wrote an article at the time, which ran in the news lens and then was picked up by the Bangkok Post. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so it ran in their print paper, and it was just about Trump. It was not a tie. It was about the phone call, okay, among other things. Okay. And what's funny is that the Bangkok Post wrote it that way, that Trump called her. And so there was some blowback, but I didn't write the headline. So that's why I remember that very specifically, because there was like people saying, hey, that's not right. And I'm like, I didn't write the headline. Don't look at me.
In any case, there's a lot of international Taiwan media. The talk is that Donald Trump has been the most friendly U.S. president for Taiwan since the Second World War. And of course, you can see that there's been a visit by U.S. Health Secretary Azar. And also now, there's also an undersecretary, one of the high, said they are working on planning because ahead of a U.S. November election. Now, Trump has been lifted a lot of restriction. For example, the high official, visit Taiwan previously is banned because of a so-called One China principle, So I think in a lot of people saying, right now, whether Trump is president or not, but at least the U.S. administration has been very, very helping Taiwan. And they could see that Taiwan is in a position that we are countering the China threat. China has flexed its muscle into the military, all kind of thing. In the South China Sea and the East China Sea, they are doing all kind of provocation. So Taiwan is actually, they call it bastion of democracy and freedom. And also coronavirus does not help China position. It seems, Trump is saying, oh, this is a China virus or Wuhan virus. And Taiwan is doing a very good job. And we're donating a lot of, medical masks to around the world. And Taiwan's one of the few nation who's doing a very good job of combating people and everything. A lot of U.S. and a lot of international newspaper and bloggers saying, hey, you should learn from Taiwan. There are all these things doing. So I think it's a good exposure or in terms of Taiwan in the international stage at this moment. And also China, Taiwan and U.S. relationship are on the up and up, right now.
Yeah, they recently AIT declassified a bunch of documents, and that I thought was quite interesting.
Yeah, there was the so-called six assurances that was, to tell the truth, it's been kind of circulating. I never seen those before, but now they make a, official. They declassify the six assurances. That was during the Ronald Reagan administration. Of course, Reagan is a Republican, he's a conservative, but conservative Republican are basically very pro-Taiwan. They are so-called quote-unquote anti-communist in their stance, political stance. So, in a way, it's very good for Taiwanese people that, you could see that U.S. assurance of they will try to come defend in terms of if Taiwan ever get military threats or China try to any kind of, attack or kind of provocation. Of course, that goes a long way with China, U.S. countering China's so-called hegemony in terms of they want to dominate around Asia, And that, of course, it also covers the U.S., Japan, there's a security treaty. I think, a lot of Taiwan and also a lot of Southeast Asia, the island chain are under so-called this U.S. military want to protection or at least stop China expanding into the Pacific Ocean. That threatens the U.S. interests.
Yeah. Now, there was some reporting. I don't know if you saw this. Mm-hmm. This was in the Financial Times. Mm-hmm. Catherine Hill wrote a piece. And she got two sources within the Trump administration who said that right now, the reason why they declassified these documents was to send a message to China. Mm. But what she said that the sources told her that within the administration right now, there's a lot of talk. Now, they haven't made a decision yet, but there's a lot of talk about dropping strategic ambiguity. Mm-hmm. And outright saying that that the U.S. would come to Taiwan's defense. So what do you think about that? I mean, that's a long-standing policy.
Yeah, it is. It's in the U.S. and also Japan's interest because it's, of course, built on political, economic, and, interest. But it's good for Taiwan if U.S. will back up on its promise to defend Taiwan if it was ever, China ever mount a military attack or invasion. For Taiwanese people, that's good because it goes back. Taiwan is it's an island. It's a democracy. We're under a freedom. We have a direct election. China doesn't. So we are in a democratic freedom way of life, more or less aligned with the Western democracies. And Taiwanese people don't want to lose like this lifestyle or the freedom or our voting privilege to able to select for our own legislators to choose vote for our own president. So in a way that the assurance is that Taiwan is part of this U.S. Security alliance, you know, in the Western Pacific, is that it gives Taiwan assurance that, okay, we could continue to have our economic investment and growth. And that really assures us because we also need foreign growth. Yeah, foreign company to come and investment, and Taiwan has a very vigorous both IT and electronics, you know, industries, and that a lot of American and European company and the computer industry does require Taiwan's, you know, computer chips, electronics and component and computer equipment stuff. So in a way, from people I talk to, they say, right now, under the Trump administration, Taiwan is in a very good position to continue and that to in a world trade. You have to really understand in Taiwan, we've been under a diplomatic isolation. We're not allowed to participate in UN. We have to do everything unofficially. We're not allowed to have embassy ship in most countries. And Taiwan can only sort of have some kind of economic or consular offices. You know, it's sort of a lot of things done under the table. But now, with Taiwan could have more, starting with, you know, Czech Republic, and some people in Taiwan wish saying maybe normalization with the U.S. in the coming years, and that would be good for Taiwanese people, you know, economic development and our way of life.
All right. Before we go, I have one last question. As you know, the KMT is about to start their party congress, and then they just came out with a new party platform. Mm. So I'd like your take about the KMT party platform and the party congress.
Yeah, to just give you a little background is that the KMT will have their national congress in Taipei at the Sun Yat-sen Memorial Hall tomorrow or this Sunday, okay, in the afternoon. And in fact, it will be, I read their information sheet. They're going to have all kind of booths and in front, outside, and inside. So it's a big congress for them. And for now, Jiang Qichen, at least he'll be safe because battle for chairmanship will not take place here. It'll be only next year.
And yeah, next May. Yeah.
In fact, yeah, they've been already talking about how Ma Ying-jeou or Han Kuo-yu might be the challenger. There's also
Zhu Lilun.
Yeah, Zhu Lilun. Yeah. Also, yeah, those are the three.
He's definitely going to run.
Yeah. So these are the three that have been surfaced. But having said that, is that KMT, from what I understand, is they have been an internal battle between moderates, you know, people, so we say Jiang Qichen, around them, and the hardcore, the people who are really conservative. And it seems on their platform, the hardcore faction has won because they want to continue. They want to keep that 1992, so-called 92 consensus that, you know, there's only one China, each side could, you know, interpret on their own. And that basically for the Green kind of party, you know, Green also doesn't mean just DPP, but also the New Power Party, also, you know, the State Building Party, all kind of, it's that is kowtowing or, you know, subservient to China. You know, you're admitting that you are a province of China, and if China does anything to you, that become an internal, matter, you know, and other country cannot come and defend. So 92 consensus actually will mean that. So, that means the hardcore within the KMT, the conservative faction, they have sort of won on this battle. But they also won at their National Congress on Sundays that they're going to really launch the so-called public referendum on the U.S. pork import. A lot of people in Taiwan interpret that they want to just stop this closer Taiwan-U.S. Building up the relationship, which, you know, very, very clear was a lot of move by the Trump administration. But the KMT is wanting to stop that, and people are asking questions. Political pundits are saying because they want to continue their relations, so continue the making money and business interest in China. So that's the thing. It's their underlying motive is that well, in their mind, a lot of they are mainlander, offspring of mainlander. A lot of their, you know, so-called loyalty lie with China as a, you know, great nation. But that is not a mainstream. Majority Taiwanese people believe we are Taiwan, we're Taiwanese people, we should build up our own freedom democracy. So it seems like KMT, the moderate has lost in this, and they are going, again, continue that more hardcore or ultra-conservative pro-China political platform.
All right. Well, we'll wrap it up here. And thank you all for tuning in. And I hope you tune in next time to the next Current Affairs Taiwan, which hopefully will be in roughly a week or so. All right. Thank you for supporting us on Patreon, for those of you who have. And of course, hit like and subscribe and all that good stuff. And be back soon.
Yeah. Thank you, Donovan Smith. It was a pleasure to be here.
This has been brought to you by the Taiwan Report. For more content like this, become our patron at report.tw.
哎呦，就是那个台湾狗啦，最喜欢我的台湾狗了。